Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Well, hello, my fantastic, inspired, and amazing listeners. And if you happen to be watching me instead of just listening to me, and you're like, why does Gaia look all sweaty and she's in her workout clothes and there's no makeup on? It's because I just finished doing some ecstatic dance, which is why I actually wanted to talk to you about how do we, that's what our topic today is. How do we let go of adrenaline that's stored in our body? And why is it important to let go of that adrenaline so that it doesn't make us sick or long-term problems from those adrenaline spiking experiences? So I'm looking au natural and all sweaty. I was gonna do another podcast episode this morning, but while I was working on my shit this morning, I realized, oh, you know, one of the beautiful things about my orgasmic life is me showing up exactly who I am, where I'm at, and being a voice of inspiration and honesty and entertainment, of course, and real life experiences. So here we are. Okay, so a little backstory. Earlier this week, Muddy Waters, our wonderful puppy that you every once in a while, if you watch the videos, will see him walking behind me and coming and hang out in here. He got bit by something. And so there's a whole journey about that. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened and all the ways in which that adrenaline was spiked inside my body and why I needed to release it. Okay. So, but this applies. So I'm going to tell you the story, but this applies to you in your life at all the times where there's a highly charged experience of stress, worry, fear that gets spiked in us. And it's great to cognitively wire it and program, rewire and reprogram and solve the problem. And that's all great for cognitively, meaning our brains, sorts out our brains. It may then sort out our emotions, which is great. But while that adrenaline spiked in your system, it stays in your body, and it takes a while for it to move out of our bodies. And sometimes, depending on how much training you've had in sitting in adrenaline, based on your childhood experiences most of the time, or, if you've been trained first, first responders, army, military, and then you've been trained to be able to sit and handle high levels of adrenaline in your body, but it still long-term effects are stress-related. And it's also stress-related diseases and sickness and ailments and all sorts of stuff. So the body was not created to stay in long periods of fight, flight, or freeze. which is when we get those spikes. And when the body has long stretches of that, it taps on the system. This taps on your adrenal glands, it tap like your body, it taps it out. So that's why we're having this conversation. Okay, so Tuesday, today is Thursday. Okay, so Tuesday morning, I was going about my day, seeing clients, doing a whole bunch of stuff in the morning, and my partner took Muddy out for Muddy's morning, walk and poop. And so I didn't really notice anything. And then at about 10:30, I was going to run out to go get him his flea meds. And I looked down and his whole looked down at him before I left, and his whole face had like swollen up like a ball. His eyes were swollen almost shut, his muzzle was like swollen, his face was swollen. I was like, what the fuck? And immediately when I saw that, immediate response in my body was adrenaline spiking of, okay, we have a problem, we have to solve a problem. Part of my childhood training, one of the byproducts, happy byproducts of growing up with a lot of trauma, is that you become very good in crisis and you're very good at crisis management. However, it doesn't really do good things in the long term. But in the moment, I'm the girl you want in a crisis. I just shut down all everything I need to feel, shut it all down, and step into what do we need to do? So I was heading to the vet anyways. I called the vet saying, hey, I'm bringing over Muddy. This is going on. They're like, yep, bring him over. So off we go to the vet. That gives him a shot of, some, what do you get a shot of? Oh, Benadryl. Give him a shot of Benadryl. And sent him on his way, and basically was like, okay, that should do it, right? It's just an allergic reaction to something, something he got into, most likely an insect bite of some sort, and he should be fine. So I was like, okay, great. So of course, my adrenaline comes down, problem solved, we're all good. Muddy's all doped up and sleeping all day and, looking good. He's slowly, he's deflating. His face is deflating, coming back. I'm like, all right, we're doing good. But then the Benadryl wore off, and then I didn't, he was also on some other meds that I wasn't sure if they would be counterproductive if I gave him more Benadryl or any kind of antihistamine meds. And so, all of a sudden now at night, all night long, he's whining and he's crying and he's uncomfortable and he's itchy all over, and he's having a hell of a time and he's not settling, and and of course I'm just like, feel helpless because I can't make it better for him. And so that's spiking my feeling of powerlessness, which is spiking my adrenaline in my body. It's triggering old traumas from childhood of feeling powerless. So it's like, so he's in distress, I'm in distress, no one's sleeping, it's a very long night. And by morning, now his ear, the rest of his face has gone down, but his ears are now really swollen, which is what was causing so much discomfort for him, and which why he was, whining and crying. I get him to the vets yesterday, and I'm there first thing as soon as they open up, and they give him another shot of Benadryl, and we get some steroids into him, and we have a what do we do at home strategy so that Muddy can be more comfortable. And then Muddy sleeps all day, and so do I. Yesterday, on and off, I had naps. So the problem's solved. He still has some swelling in his ears a little bit. It's going down, but it's a very slow, it seems to be going down slowly. And I kept him on Benadryl, so he slept really well last night, and I slept well, and everybody slept well. And But then this morning, I woke up and I'm like, why am I having, now I'm having anxiety, like stress related anxiety. And why am I feeling antsy? And why can't I settle? And I'm trying to meditate and I can't stay focused. And like, what's going on? So I'm like, okay, well, I need to go do my work. Now that the crisis is averted, we're solving the problem. That part is solved. Now it's time to have, figure out why my emotions about what the experience was. And so in that, I did my inner child work, which is, some advanced inner child sanctuary work that I specialize in. And I did. I went in there and found out, okay, what was the trigger and why did this spike even further and more than it would normally do? And yes, it was awful watching, feeling helpless and powerless about, making your fur baby feel better. And but what was deeper about that? And so I had to do some work around that trauma, childhood trauma of having some crappy parents that, weren't good at pet care and, shit that happened. So I had to clear that out, let it go, reprogram. And so it was like, great. Okay, so now that's emotionally, I'm good. I'm no longer in a triggered state. I've been de-triggered. Money's problem's been solved. But my body, it's like my body's like, yeah, angry. Like tight, angry. Spasmy. Not zen. So this is the part, I mean, I'm sharing this story about, as you can see, there's all these pieces of, how do we get to this place of resetting? And so I was like, okay, my body needs to move it out of my body, like physically move it out of my body. And for me, there's a couple of different things that work really well. Working out is one of them. Having orgasm is another one of them. But ecstatic dance, which is basically ecstatic dance, was created by this woman named Gabrielle Roth. And but any kind of freestyle dancing, and the concept is that your body stores your feelings and your emotions and stuff in it. And when you move your body and you let your body move to different rhythms and different frequencies of those rhythm music, then you can release it. And you may physically release it and you may have some emotions if there's emotions stuck in a part of your body, or just maybe an overall releasing it out of your system. And so for me, ecstatic dance works really, really well. So that's what I did this morning. I danced like a motherfucker. I grunted, I screamed, I panted, I shook, I was like, you danced wildly. Then I moved slowly and I reset my nervous system and I reset my body and I reset all of the everything. And now I feel zen. So that really works for me, and it's a quick sequence of events of like, she it's called you can find it on Spotify and other places. It's Endless Wave Volume One. And she takes you kind of, she talks you through the process. So it's like meditate, dancing while meditating, basically. And it kind of like helps guides you to like get into the things. And so that is really powerful because there's like I think five rhythms that she does and takes you through, and they all attach and release different ways because different frequencies and different movements. So now if you're not like, well, woo, that's a whole static dance thing is a little woo-woo for me. Don't dance. That's okay. You don't have to do dancing. So some of the other ways in which you can release it out of your body, but you have to physically, you can't, I talked about the importance of, I talk a lot about the importance of the rewiring and how important on a cognitive well-being is an important part of your journey of so that you're not reactive and, you're moving from this beautiful place of conscious choice and which is great. But there's still stuff going on in your body. That's great. That's fixing your brain, which then helps your emotions, which is great. And your emotions can help release stuff from your thought processes and reprogram your responses in your brain. But we still have the body. And without doing something to physically release it out of our bodies, it stays there. It lives there. Both the biochemicals that are released with the adrenaline of the experience, as well as, it's just stays. So whatever physical, but you need to push yourself physically. So some people clean really crazy and like get right in there and they're lifting things and they're scrubbing things and like, but it's a physical activity. Other people jog or run. It's another, you're moving your body, you're dropping in, you're like pushing, you're releasing it. You're as you're sweating, you're grunting and you're breathing heavily, you're releasing it out of your system. Orgasm is great because you can, it's quite pleasurable while you're releasing it out of your body. Because you're doing a lot of, you're sweating, you're grunting, you're breathing heavy, and you're like physically releasing, and sometimes fluid-wise, you're releasing it as well. So it's also can be very powerful way of releasing it. I love to dance, like we just talked about. Ecstatic dancing is great. Going to the gym, boxing, throwing rocks at a river in the river, chopping wood. These are like, again, you're releasing, right? You're physically releasing it out of your system. Now, if you're feeling like, if you start to feel like you're crying, don't, make sure you're somewhere and you're like, for example, if you're chopping wood, stop chopping wood or put the axe down. Because you can't see what you're doing. Okay. Very important. I don't want anybody cutting off any limbs while they're releasing, if they're having any feelings while you're releasing it out of your body. So, yeah, don't run with scissors. Don't chop wood while crying. These are just, really important life lessons. Okay. And give yourself permission that it's okay to do this, even if you, because if you've lived with a lot of crisis and trauma in your world, then you may have become quite acclimatized and accustomed to just running on high levels of adrenaline. And that feels very normal for you. And your body just kind of functions at that level. And that it might feel a little scary to like not live like that because you don't know what that, you might feel like you're dying. If those are the cases, please call me. Right? So that we can rewire that, because I know what that, I get it as a recovering adrenaline junkie. I understand that the concept of being Zen is more terrifying than anything when you first start. So, if that's the case, reach out so that we can clear that and heal that. Because I'm telling you, once you learn how to feel Zen, I didn't like all the adrenaline spiking. It didn't feel good in my body anymore. It was like, okay, now that the crisis is solved, now we need to release it. And it was, again, like, I was like, this first thing I did this morning was to release that, all of that spiking in my system. And now I feel great. And that's how I try to live my life, is to feel great. So again, you may be accustomed to it, so you may not know that you, but a good practice is to start when you have an experience that you would say, somebody else would be like, wow, that was really intense, or wow, that sounds really stressful. If you have other people reacting to you as like, that was a big deal, it's a good indicator it was probably a big deal. It may not have been a big deal to you because you're used to it, but it was probably a big deal. And even though you're used to feeling that kind of levels of adrenaline. It's important to release it out of your body. So if you have an incident and then you need to solve the problem or release it, and then you might be able to solve the problem depending on how you work with crisis. Make sure within a couple of days of an incident that you do something 20 minutes, 30 minutes if it's if it was really intense and you're new at this. 30 minutes of some kind of intense physical activity to get it out of your body. And while you're doing it, you gotta like visually, it's like it's out. You're shaking it off, it's getting out, sweating it out, like you're letting go of it. And just start practicing that. That'll become more, it'll become more natural the more you do it. Okay, hope that helps, because no one wants to have, adrenaline spiking constantly. Your adrenal glands and everything else in your rest of the body is not, is it has to function harder and work harder than it needs to. So let's let your body work less hard so it can give you more pleasure and more joy for a longer time. All right. Okay. So recap. You have an incident. You solve it, you resolve it. Because you're good at crisis management, then you have to consciously choose to go and release it. If you're not good at crisis management because it's not your nature, you weren't programmed to or weren't taught how to, you're probably spiking even more through the whole experience. So while that's happening, try to do some grounding, all right? Do some deep breathing. Get yourself settled as much as you can. Solve the problem. Do some cognitive problem solving. Solve the problem, resolve the problem, and then go do some physical activity. If you can't settle down enough so that your brain can come up with ideas to solve the problem, then you may want to physically release the adrenaline that's spiking throughout your system so that you then your brain can come back online. Okay, so again, it's different people handle stressful situations and crisis different. And so the ones who are in the crisis and are spiking, and if you feel like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's all happening, I don't understand, blah, 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 and you're like running around like a chicken with your head cut off, then you're gonna need to deep breathe. Maybe physically go for, release, shake your body, right? Just shake it off, like physically shake your body. You're like, all right, shaking this off, shaking it off. Take some, take about 10 deep breaths, do some Kegels, that'll help ground you. Settle enough to be like, okay, how can I solve this problem right now? Or who do I call to solve this problem right now? Get the problem solved. Then go and physically go do a 20, 30 minute physical activity to release the adrenaline spike that happened in your system. Right. And as always, you need support on how to navigate and how to work through all this stuff. You can just reach out to me. You can reach out to me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the hub of all things me. It's kind of like the gateway so that you can end up where you want to be. Anybody who has a lot of trauma, I would recommend going and visiting the trauma website and staying there until you're ready to maybe engage some other spaces. So like sexual wellness is, kind of mild, and then we have Empress Gaia, which is the opposite of mild. It's very extreme. Highly sexual, very extreme. So I would stay away from those spaces until we've done some healing. And then I can you can lovingly slowly introduce that to you. And I look forward to hearing from you. And as always, I often do my recordings live on my loyal fans page, so that you can ask and engage and interact with me. This morning I was just get in, get out, don't mess my hairdo. because I just finished dancing, so I didn't set up the live feed this morning. But usually I have a live feed going so that you can start to engage and ask me questions. And as always, I love hearing from my audience. I adore you. It's why we this is why I do this. If you have any topics you'd really love me to cover, send me an email. You can send me an email at gaia@succulentliving.com. You can, send me a message. I'm on FetLife. If you happen to be on FetLife, if you're joined my loyal fans page, you can reach out to me there. But I love hearing comments and feedback and requests. All right. Till next time, mwah. Ah, shake off the stress of the adrenaline spiking life. Bye-bye. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. Just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also, come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know because I'm a little bit of a voyeur. So I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please. Please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.